The Ben Coley Podcast.
And we're a go. We're out the gate. Hi. You're listening to, well, you know what you're listening to. You clicked on it. But I hope you're doing well. I'm here to chat to you about some of my favourite unsigned artists at the moment. This is episode 17 and genuinely probably one of my favourite episodes just because the quality of the music you're going to hear today is just absolutely unbelievable. If you've never listened to my podcast before, I'll be chatting to you about my favourite unsigned artists at the moment. You'll also hear my favourite song of the week and my album of the week. So it's essentially a snapshot of the past week or so in music. And if you're like me and you love all sorts of different genres, all sorts of different artists, you don't like to pigeonhole yourself too much, then this will be great for you because it's a little kind of pit stop where you can touch base with some different sounds and collect some new tunes for your library. Right, I've got a lot to dig into today. I've got a lot of chats with some artists. There's a lot of music to sink our teeth into. So I'm going to try and get all the formalities out of the way as quickly as I can. If you've got any suggestions for any future episodes, please hit me up on thebencoleypodcast@gmail.com, or you can get in touch with me on my socials at bencoley97 on Twitter or _bencoley on Instagram. In terms of copyright, all of the unsigned artists have been contacted and they've informed me that they are the sole copyright holders of their music. Basically, I've got permission to plug their stuff. Also, all of the links to all of the artists you're going to hear today are down in the description. Lastly, please leave a review, leave a rating. Also, I'd love it if you could download and share as well. That would mean a lot. Also, shout out to my friends at Indie Central Music. You can be at the very forefront of discovering new music with indiecentralmusic.com. They unearth some of the hottest indie and alternative talent around through really insightful interviews, amazing feature interviews as well. They'll do longer feature interviews. And they put together specially curated Spotify playlists. And these are guys that really know what they're talking about. So particularly if you love your indie music, Indie Central Music are a great platform to go to, a real trusted source. Also, check them out on their social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching Indie Central Music. So first up, we've got Anna Straker. She's so talented. And she's not just talented because she writes good songs. Obviously, that's probably the main thing you'd look for. But she's got all the trimmings to go with it. She's got the full, I hate this word, but she's got the full package. She's got the aesthetic. She's got the production behind all of her stuff. She's also got a fantastic live presence. She puts a lot of effort into what she's doing on stage when she's performing for people. She's been around since about 2016 when she first started releasing music, and that was after breaking away from being a backing singer. And she's just absolutely crushing it now. She's been gigging loads, well, not recently, but she has been gigging loads around London. And she's also been picked up by loads of festivals. She's performed at Glastonbury. She's also been playing over in Japan. BBC Introducing have been really championing her, which has been great. So her sound, I'd say, is characteristically quite synth-laden, bass-heavy, and beat-centric. But it's very reflective of her huge interest in dance music. And at the weekends, you'll often find Anna out in East London at clubs. She loves being part of that scene. But what she's been doing recently has been quite different, safe to say. She's been working on some very different sounds. Her sound has very much taken a sidestep or a U-turn. She's released her latest single called London Knows. It's getting so much love at the moment. And I caught up with her about it. Pretty much started off doing backing vocals. So you had this really interesting window into the professional music industry, but you weren't at the forefront of it. So you did backing vocals for, and this is mad, Rudimental, John Newman, Years and Years. I mean, surely you must have been working alongside these people and been in the studio and seen these artists at work and thought, I have to do this. This is my calling.
Yeah, for sure. It was really inspiring. Like, I must have been like 17 or 18 at the time when I was doing that. And I'd like dropped out of school to pursue music. Like, I was a really nerdy, straight A student, but I was like, I'm going to work with these producers. Like, I'm going to drop out of school. I'm going to move to London, leave all my mates behind. Like, I didn't know a single person living in London. I moved into a spare room in my grandma's house in Ealing. And I was like, what am I doing? But also the thing that, yeah, pushed me through really was like seeing how these big number one records were being made and like being a part of the process for it. And it was like really just like the driving force behind me like doing that move and everything.
And did you notice anything different with the creative process for these number one records compared to perhaps other artists that you've worked with? Is there something different that happens in the studio?
I mean, it's like every session is different and you never know when it's going to be a number one record. So I think it just literally depends on the person, depends on the producer, the writers. Like everything is different, you know. If you're writing, I've never written abroad, but like I imagine like making records in LA is like a completely different experience to doing it in London and stuff. But it's really hard to say. Like I think anyone could make a number one in their bedroom, even, to be honest.
And you write, sing and produce yourself. You do everything yourself. Have you always done that? Has that always been your approach to it, where you have total control?
When I dropped out of school, I was working with this like really big producer, and like I obviously I could play piano, so I would sit and write at the piano, but I really wanted to be involved with like all of the production process. So I kind of learned from him to do that. It was just a natural inclination to go to be a producer as well.
A lot of your music has a club vibe to it, and when I say a club vibe, I mean, you know, it's quite beat centric. Mm-hmm. You use a lot of synths. Yeah, definitely. But especially in your lyrics as well, so like songs like Ignite Me and Sweat, it's very much about going out. So you've got the lyrics in Sweat where it's like, you know, I come alive every weekend, I dance until I can't no more. What is it about the clubbing environment that makes you want to write about it? Because in Ignite Me, you write about it in this kind of very romantic, kind of seductive way, but then there's almost this kind of sad element to it as well.
I love going out and I love clubbing and I love festivals so much. Like, if I couldn't do that all the time, I don't know what I'd do. But I don't know what it is. Like, when I moved to London, I'd never really gone clubbing before. Like, I used to live in Lincoln and the clubs there were so, so rubbish. So I moved to London, never really had gone out. And like, I met my boyfriend who is like mad about clubbing, started going out and was like, oh my God, I see why you're so obsessed with it. Like, the feeling I get like walking into a nightclub like gives me goosebumps sometimes. I just love like loud music, escaping reality. And like, I find even the gross bits of it beautiful. Like, that's kind of what Sweat's about. It's like, even how it's like the floor's sticky and
sweat,
the walls.
Sweat dripping off the ceiling.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think that's really sexy and cool. And
it's almost this kind of sensory overload as well, which I can see that you're trying to bring that to your music, because especially with your aesthetic as well, it's a lot of vibrant colours. You've got this colour palette of like pink and purple. And that's obviously a very conscious decision, even as far as your music videos. All your music videos are very highly choreographed. So when was it that you decided to really incorporate your aesthetic into your music?
Yeah, I guess like, you know, I've always been a really visual person. Like, I love music videos just as much as I loved like tracks from other artists. But I think like, you know, as the years go on, as I'm making more music, I literally write a song and be like, oh, I know what the video is going to be for it, like while it's not even finished. Sometimes I prefer, like, honestly, being on a video shoot set. Like, the feeling I get from that is sometimes like better than playing a gig sometimes. But I think it's just expressing yourself in another way.
For sure. And I watched the music video to London Knows first and foremost before I listened to the song. And then I read the description about the song and what you put on your socials, and it completely moved me. And I want to get into that. But firstly, I kind of want to understand where you were coming from musically, because it's way more regressive. It's way more stripped back than all of your stuff before, to the point that if it wasn't for your voice, you'd think it was a different artist altogether. It's a proper sidestep in terms of your sound. So what was your approach and process to writing that?
I think, like, you know, I write songs every day in so many different genres. Like, one day I'll write a piano ballad, the next day I'm writing sweat, and then the next day I'll write a dancehall song. Like, I definitely love so many, like, Ignite Me again is a different genre to everything else, really. When I was writing this song, I wrote it on the piano, and, like, it just felt like it was so powerful. Like, it didn't need to be dressed up. Like, originally it had a beat on it and it had like kind of a James Blake production on it, like very glitchy, like cool beats, and like I just felt like it didn't need any of it because the song was so good itself, and it's about the story and it's about the emotion and the vocal, and I was just like, take it all off, like let's just strip it right back.
And in terms of what it is about, you went away to, correct me if I'm wrong, Thailand. Now, you can talk about this as much or as little as you want. I'm not going to push you either way. But for me, I viewed the song in a totally different light when I read your description of what the song was about. And I, like anyone really, I struggle sometimes, especially in lockdown. I've been feeling anxious some days. But it's when you read stories like the one you put on your social media and it puts a lot into perspective. And I can't even begin to imagine what you went through and how you kind of bounced back from that. I've never experienced anything that traumatic myself. So firstly, tell me about the meaning behind the song, and then perhaps how you bottled some of those emotions and tried to control it and put it into one song.
In November, I was on holiday with my boyfriend's family. And on the last night, we were in Bangkok and we went out with a couple mates who were there. And like, we got stupidly drunk, went to this like tiny little techno club in Bangkok. And like, I went to the toilet, and then the next minute it's like fully blackout. And like, I just wake up and like, I'm in a van with a load of men. And I literally am on so many drugs that like, I'm on so many drugs that I didn't even realize what was going on was like a bad thing. Like, I just totally accepted it. I had no idea who I was, where I was. Like, I was just like a robot puppet thing. And then, like, you know, it's so blurry. I managed to escape, run into a hotel, and then I'm thinking like, I'm trapped in this hotel. And the hotel guys are trying to help me, and they're trying to, like, who are you? What's your name? Write your name down. What's your number? Where are you from? And I literally can't remember. I was so out of my, I had no control over anything at this point, but to the point where it was so bad that I didn't actually realize, like, anything bad was going on, which was maybe a blessing in disguise. I don't know. But eventually I end up at a police station, and like after a few hours, I finally stopped remembering stuff and I remembered my hotel name and blah, blah, blah. But it was basically like the biggest, I've never really had anything like that happen to me before. And I just went into a bit of a state of shock. Like, it was really traumatic. And on the way home to England, like, I've never gone on holiday and been so, so thankful for like the frost on the trees and the cold weather. And it was like the weirdest feeling. I just felt like I left like this Anna Straker, and I've come back like not someone I know at all, like not confident, like not, I can't be sexual with my boyfriend, like everything's changed. I can't go out on the weekends like I used to. I can't have a drink. Like, it was just so, everything was flipped upside down for me. And after a few weeks, I like had this kind of psychotherapy called EMDR, and it's basically like about random eye movement. It's kind of a bit like hypnotherapy. But after I did that, I really felt so different and so much better. Like, it's about processing your traumatic memories and like kind of reliving them, but in a controlled manner. And after that, like, things that triggered me like really didn't anymore. So then at that point, I just really wanted to write about it. And I was writing, London Knows is kind of like the only song I've written about it, really. But I think what I like about London Knows is, like you say, you wouldn't actually know what it's about from the lyrics in it, but because it's not really about what happened to me, it's about healing and it's about recovery and it's about coming back to London and like going back to normal and not feeling right. So I think that's why loads of people are connecting to it as well, because of this pandemic, like we're only just kind of going back to normal, quote unquote. And it's like, you know, is this normal? Do I feel right? Like, am I going to be okay? Oh, I don't really know. It's like this uncertainty of recovery that it's really about.
London, are you waiting for me? Summer, save a little for me. Peaceful sleep at night, I'm coming for you. Cause I've been doing everything I can to get back home. I don't know how long until while I'm gone, so you won't forget me. Where will I go? London knows. Who will I be? London knows. When will this end? Will I be myself?
It's the emphasis on that word uncertainty, because it's the lyrics, when will this end? Will I be myself again? And we've all had times where we haven't felt ourselves, and you think, oh, is this a permanent mindset? Will I ever go back to how I used to be?
Yeah, exactly. And the whole title and everything is like, London is like, I don't know, like some higher power. And it's like, I trust that being here, like my life will go back to normal. It's like trusting the universe, basically.
Sorry to bring this up again, but I'm just really trying to understand it in my head. When you were in the van with these men, were they taking you somewhere? Were they driving you somewhere? Was it kind of a kidnap situation?
Yeah, I don't really know. Like, I know that happens. I've read a lot of stories that kind of thing happens, but girls getting date raped in clubs, being ushered into vans for like sex, and then, you know, sending them on their way or that kind of thing. I'm not really sure. And like, you know, I've racked my brains trying to remember what happened or what was going on, but there's like a peace in accepting that I'm never going to know. And there's just going to be black spaces in my brain that I'll never know, really. Which is a weird thing, because, yeah, again, it's the uncertainty that's the scary thing.
London, are you shouting for me? Just keep me in your sunrise every morning. You're so beautiful, even when I'm crawling home. And I've been trying everything I can to be normal. I don't know how long until I'm ready, baby, while I'm gone, so you won't forget me. Where will I go? I'm coming home. I'm coming.
I'm working on like a 5-track EP that's coming out. Basically, I'm releasing a track every month pretty much for the next few months. The EP is called Growing Pains. And it's about, every song on it is about a different thing that I've learned like in the last year. And it's a lot more deep and emotional. And I'm really proud of it.
And it's all in that kind of style where it's perhaps instrumentally a bit more stripped back.
Like there is dance tracks on it and there's like cool electronic synth pop on there. Mm. But I wasn't even going to release London Knows. And I was like, I want to put this story out there. Like, I want to do it. We literally got the music video and the artwork done like 3 days before the release because it wasn't really planned. So like having people like you reach out, or you know, it got played on Radio 2 last night.
Congrats.
So thank you. I'm so happy because like it really wasn't, it was like not even meant to happen really. And to know that it's connecting with people makes me so, so happy.
She's so sound, isn't she? Go and check her out. Anna Straker. Okay, so the next unsigned artist this week is Ola Bliss. And I discovered Ola Bliss on a kind of curated Spotify playlist. I think it was like it was a hip-hop or it was a pop Spotify playlist I stumbled across. And I just literally stumbled into Ola's music. And straight away, I was hooked in. And I guess the reason why is because Ola doesn't just write amazing songs, but she really puts a spotlight on the complexities of relationships. You get a lot of people writing love songs, I suppose, all the time. Love is great or love is bad, but you don't get many people that kind of sit somewhere in the middle and say, love is great, but here's where all the complexities are, and here's where I'm finding there to be difficulties in my relationship. So she touches on themes of infidelity, lust, awkward situations that you may encounter with a partner. So it's really relatable, liberating pop music, but it's got this real streak of rebelliousness as well. I should have mentioned actually that Ola's a London-based Polish singer-songwriter, so she grew up in Poland and then moved over to London around the age of 16. So I chatted to Ola after the release of her latest single that you're going to hear today called We Only Live Once. And we started off by chatting, obviously. Sign of the times, all things locked down.
Everything just kind of stopped. And I was like, oh my God. I was literally like running around doing so many things at once. It's really nice to just stop and see like, oh my God, like everything could be taken away at any time. And even not seeing people, that's the I think the third month, I was just like, I can't do this no more. I fell off my routines, I didn't stop exercising, and I just felt really bad. So I'm slowly, like this week, it's only this week actually, past 3 days, that I've been working out and eating well and trying to build a new routine, you know?
I think something I found for myself as well is that I'm someone that's quite hard on myself. I'm quite a perfectionist. I kind of push myself and I'm always wanting the best out of myself. But I think with everything going on now and with lockdown and isolation and all the rest of it, we can't be too hard on ourselves. If we're having a bit of an off time where we're not being as productive or we're not being as motivated, that's not a bad thing. I feel like we're all in the same boat and this is a time that we should be a little bit easier on ourselves and just think, do you know what? Times are tricky at the moment. Don't push yourself too much.
I agree. I do agree. There's come a time when I was just like, yo, just relax. It's okay. Like, you don't need to be doing all of this right now. It's difficult, you know? Even like getting anxiety, going outside was just super, super hard. It probably freaked me out, you know?
Exactly. You've just got to kind of take a step back and just see the situation for what it is a little bit. I really want to get into your music and start talking about that, but I feel like I want to go right back to the start because I want my listeners to understand you as an artist from your roots. So you've really only been releasing music for kind of the past few years from what I've seen online. It's only sort of been since sort of 2017, 2018 that I've seen music of yours released. But you kind of have an interesting background because you come from like a musical education background. You graduated with a Bachelor of Honours in Commercial Music in London, but you were born in Poland. So I think it might be important to start there. So talk to me about your life growing up in Poland and essentially what music you were brought up on and what the music scene was like over there.
I guess growing up in Poland was different to what my life is now. You know, music isn't something that people were doing, you know? It's not like a go-to thing, oh, hey, I'm going to be a musician. It's not like that. There aren't any, like, opportunities. So I sang with, like, old school performances and, like, any festivals that were happening around my town. I did jazz events. Like, I've always been singing, you know? I must have been about 13 or so. And I got involved with this hip-hop group. They were much, much, much older than me. But because I was literally, like, the only singer that people knew about, obviously, so they asked me to make music with them. And maybe because they were so much older than me, I started appreciating good music from early, you know? So, for instance, they were listening to Eric Badu, Macy Gray, even Kelis, Bjork, loads of artists that were just very, very talented and very special. Not so much commercial, say, but very special. I mean, Lauryn Hill, even Eminem, actually. I grew up listening to Eminem. And from there, I guess I just told my mom one day, I was like, yo, I'm going to quit college. So I dropped out of college. I was 16. And I told her that I'm going to go to England. And she was just like, oh, you're crazy, you know, going anywhere. I was like, listen, this is important. I want to sing, you know? And, you know, my mom is very open-minded. She just kind of let me do that. So I moved here. I couldn't speak any English, so it took some time. I didn't become a superstar straight away, as I would have hoped for, you know? But obviously, life happened. And, like, I needed to learn English, and that's where I got accepted to the first music college. Yeah, and around that time, I think I started releasing music when a couple of years after I moved to London.
It's 6 a.m., that's not my bed. Around my clothes, my hair's a mess. You're really cute, it's such a shame. I don't remember your fucking name. Am I just leaving? Don't make a sound. Order an Uber, don't say goodbye. Can we just pretend this never happened? Let's forget it all and send it back in. Ooh, it was a late night with too much champagne. Ooh, you hit the shit good, I got love on my brain.
Love on my brain.
Ooh, my boyfriend's at home, what the fuck should I say? I made a mistake, we only live once and you never know what's gonna happen, no.
You were saying that not many other people were doing what you were doing in Poland. Did you have a lot of doubters? Did you have a lot of people saying to you, what are you doing? And did that ever cast a shadow of doubt in your mind?
Listen, oh my gosh, I remember having like a leaving party with my friends, you know, they were like, oh, you're going. And I will never forget that one of my friends, we were really, really close. He came up to me and he said, oh yeah, I understand you have big dreams and stuff, but I give you about 2 months and you'll be back. This is where you belong. And I was like, nah, I'm not doing that. You're crazy. It's not a common thing to do to have such big dreams.
Yeah, and it must be frustrating for you at the minute with lockdown, the fact that you can't perform. Have you got that real itch to get out there again? Do you feel like you've really missed that side of what you do?
100%. At the same time, I feel a bit out of it as well. I haven't been playing as many shows as I wanted to, you know? So I guess the second I started going out there and playing more and more shows and just testing the grounds and whatever the case might be, yeah? And I feel like the government and nobody cares about the music industry. Like, we're all suffering. we should be getting some like free therapy or something like that.
The song that I will be featuring on my podcast that I'm going to be going into playing and talking about is We Only Live Once. And it's easy for me to say, oh, well, it's your most kind of well-rounded, developed song because it's your most recent song. But I genuinely think it is. Before we talk about the song itself, I want to get into the lyrics because that's what really struck me. I found the lyrics so upfront, so raw, so emotional. For instance, you've got love is complicated, I made a mistake, we only live once. And I love this idea of you not being a prisoner of your past. You're kind of accepting your past for what it is, but then you're moving on and using past mistakes as life experience. Was that your intention with this song?
I think I just put me on the track. I wrote Ocean and We Only Live Once within 2 days of each other. And both of the songs just did something to me. It was literally like the first time in my career, I felt like this is me on the track. No one else. Just me. No influences. This is just my sound and what I'm feeling right now. You know? So if you say it sounds raw, it's because like this is literally how I felt. And I guess the situation I've been through in the past, but you know, sometimes you just sit down and think about things, you know? Stuff that happened ages ago and you reflect on it and then you look at how far you've come and the growth.
So talk to me about the creative influences behind this track then. What sort of sources of inspiration did you draw off?
I didn't write anything for about 3 weeks, okay? I was losing my mind, literally. I tried so many times, I was forcing songs out, and I thought, nope, nothing is coming out, nothing. Then I wrote Ocean, then I had another block, and then came back to write something, and I had this guitar. I heard this guitar, somewhere on my computer, and dropped it in the project, and I was just thinking how depressed I am because I can't write anything. And then I started dwelling on my life and feeling sorry for myself, as you do, and freestyled the whole song. The melody, as you hear it, was literally the melody I laid down with my first take.
I'm feeling you all over my body. Your perfume's all under my skin.
Was like, we only live once and you never know what's gonna happen. I think that came straight away. And the rest of it, I was just like, I think it took me about a week to finish it. I was just like going back and forth, doing first verse, going back to the second verse. And sometimes it's very hard to put yourself back into the same space you were when you started the song. So I needed to wait for the right day when I was feeling a bit meh. And then I finished it. And I was like super happy. And then I just sent it to a couple of producers and they worked on it. Well, a couple of producers, Lois Collin and Guy Capsell, two incredible producers, actually.
There's a question I always like to end with on this podcast. It kind of catches people off guard. Give me three words to describe your music and what you do.
Emotional, edgy.
Can I put forward a suggestion of a word that I've thought of? I don't know if you'll agree or not. Honest.
Oh, yeah. I actually have a song that's going to come out in the next couple of months called Honest.
There we go. There we go. I've called it.
There you go. There you go. Exclusive. There is a song that's called Honest and it's coming out this year.
If I could have any other way, I'd leave today. If I
The New is now a band you're going to hear. But have you ever come across a song that reflects exactly how you're feeling in the very moment? Because that's quite rare, I'd say, when you stumble across music where it speaks to you and you feel like it's speaking directly to you right at that very moment. A song touches on something that's going on in your life almost to the T. Well, The New is an artist that's doing exactly that. The New is incorporating a lot of futuristic electronic sounds into what I'd call soundscape music, really. He's from Birmingham, and he's also known as Darius Zoltash. So The New is an artist, I would say, worthy of anyone's attention, to be honest. The New is an artist that is just daring to be bold, daring to stand out and be a little bit different. And The New also draws off his contemporaries like INXS and Jane's Addiction, but he kind of tweaks his sonic soundscape recipes just enough to stand out, just enough for his music to be a little bit of a breath of fresh air in amongst what is already a pretty saturated genre. The New has also been nominated for 4 awards at the 2020 Birmingham Music Awards, and he's had a load of love from BBC Introducing in the West Midlands. So the track you're going to hear that I'm about to play for you is called One Life, and it captures the zeitgeist of the current day, I'd say. It is the most sign of the time song I've probably heard all lockdown. So let's get straight into it. The New, One Life, starts off with these marching snare drums, these really forlorn, beautiful piano chords, and these distant vocals. But pay attention to what the vocals are actually talking about.
Hey guys, it's Darius from The New here. Thank you for listening to my track, One Life. One Life is a song that came from the powerlessness that I feel a lot of people, including myself, felt at the very start of lockdown. Yeah, it was sort of like this massive thing I couldn't really get my head around, that we just, like, that the whole world had just come to a halt. And yeah, the song was sort of my way of dealing with it. Like, I felt inspired by, like, the NHS and all the key workers. At the same time, I was getting frustrated about, like, people really just, like, not caring about the sort of, like, rules that were put in place at all. Basically me trying to get my head around the whole situation in a sort of musical format. That's like, I always go to music for therapy. This track is no different. So yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed listening to it as much as I enjoyed making it.
That spoken word delivery, and it's those lyrics. So the road ahead is a complete mystery, brought to a standstill by a turnover in the pages of our modern history. It's literally poetry that isn't just being delivered in a melody, it's actually being delivered in this spoken word passage. The delivery of these words could not be more direct, but I love that because I'm listening to this and I feel like Darius is literally talking to me, and it's very rare for an artist to make that one-on-one intimate connection, I'd say. Here's the chorus, see what you think of it. I like his vocals as well. I like it when he switches up from his spoken word delivery into those soaring melodies in that chorus. And it's quite a brash style of delivery. Kind of reminds me of Brandon Flowers a little bit, actually. And I love those staccato strings that come in. Dun, 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 dun. Very euphoric. And it just gives the track so much more energy as well. I'm going to let One Life play out for you a little bit now, just because I want you to really get the message, I suppose. And I want you to pay particular attention to the lyrics, obviously, because, I mean, Darius goes in now. He goes in. But check out the increasingly intense synth passages that come in as well. There's so much momentum that builds up, and there's so much power in the instrumental. A 21st century modern symphony, isn't it? I really liked it, and you probably haven't heard anything similar in a while. Do you know what I mean? It just kind of stands out in amongst everything that's going on at the moment, and a lot of people are bringing out music right now because of lockdown. The new stands out, and I think that Darius's unique patchwork of icy synths and dense layers and soundscape spectrums are kind of only really bettered by his incredible poetry, and you feel like he's, as I said, talking to you as an individual. So please go and check out this song as well. Play it, stream it, download it, because the first 12 months of streaming royalties for One Life are going to be donated to the NHS, which again is absolutely incredible. Also, check out the music video, because that's something that Darius directed, shot and filmed himself, and it's a fantastic music video. I'm very quickly going to touch on my album and song of the week. Album of the week has to be Taylor Swift, Folklore. Taylor is finding comfort in sadness. That's probably the elevator pitch I'd give. It's a 16-track behemoth of an album, but musically it's far more regressive for Taylor Swift. It's a lot more stripped back, but the songwriting is just absolutely incredible. Taylor Swift's vocals are sublime. And I absolutely adore the duet that Taylor Swift does with Bon Iver. And my song of the week has to be Ski Mask the Slump God. And he's got a track called Burn the Hoods. It's very much kind of fuck America. That's essentially what he's getting at. It's exactly what you'd expect from Ski Mask. If you've never listened to him before, he has so much charisma and personality, a very unique vocal delivery, razor sharp verses, a lot of fantastic lyricism, but also his lyrics are quite tongue-in-cheek. He doesn't take himself too seriously, but he just goes really, really hard over these incredibly sick beats. So you can't really go too wrong with Ski Mask the Slump God. Burn the Hoods clocks in at like 1 minute 40 or something like that, so it's just a quick adrenaline rush. I don't know whether or not you listened to 5 minutes or 10 minutes or the whole thing, but the fact that you've clicked on it and given it a listen means a lot. And all that I'm wanting you to do really is perhaps leave a review, but better still, go and check out some of the amazing artists that I've featured today. Show them some love. Maybe if they're gigging sometime towards the end of the year or next year, go and show them some support as well.
The Ben Coley Podcast.